Over the years, I became inconsistent. One day, I could organize my thoughts and present them really well, in my opinion. And other days, I didn't.
Do you have time? I
have a feeling we could talk forever. But
we might as well eat while we do it.
Yes. So, since he's buying, in honor of him buying, I would like everything.
Okay, one of everything.
And I want one of each to go of all of the home sweet treats, a fruit pie, ice cream on the side.
Pumpkin cream cheese rolls and Texas sheet cake this week.
What?
Say what?
Say it again.
Texas sheet cake with and without nuts and pumpkin cream cheese rolls this week.
What is pumpkin sheet cake? Texas cheesecake?
Texas sheet cake is just a chocolate cake about that deep with a buttery chocolate frosting.
I'm never gonna get thin again.
I've been on vacation for 12 days, and I promised myself I was going to go to the gym 2 and 3 times a day. Okay. I've been once.
You need to work on that, and my friend.
I can't, because people like you are always pushing off Texas cake, sheet cake. I hate you, but I love you. I want the biscuit sandwich with sausage, but with a side of bacon, with the Indiana bacon.
That
can't have it
the
without
best.
The bacon. I'm not doing any, you know, I want the sourdough, unless you make a sourdough biscuit, but you don't, right?
No.
No, that biscuit's pretty awesome.
How about for you, Doug?
I want to have a breakfast sandwich with sausage and a side of bacon. The same kind of delicious Indiana bacon.
Delicious Indiana bacon.
You know what? It has spoiled me for everywhere else I go.
You have to chew this bacon. It's not just a thin and it disappears. No, it needs
my friend
chewed.
Big Fatty would love that bacon. He's all about the bacon. Just the fact that you just said you have to chew this bacon.
You can't just
Big Fatty would. Big Fatty would love you.
And I have had people trying to feed me this turkey bacon stuff, and it's like chewing a cardboard box.
I know. It's like I went to this one restaurant, and you know, I'm like, I want a side of bacon, you know, and you know, it just like was this. It looked like a dog treat.
I know.
You know?
What?
And it broke up as I picked it up, and I'm like, I don't want this. And I mean, I left it. I didn't even eat it.
We could have that all about that bacon song. Yes, I'm all about that bacon, about that bacon, about that bacon.
That is some... Doug, you're cracking me up, dude.
No travel. I'm all about that bacon.
All about the bacon, about the bacon, about the bacon. Big Fatty, get on that. Bill about the bacon. And Poodle on the bacon. I don't even know the song, but all I know is that part. All about the bacon, about the bacon, about the Big Fatty bacon. That's some funny stuff right there. But really, you know, it's like, I don't know what it is about this Indiana bacon. Just because it's made in Indiana, or...
Indiana hogs.
So what were you saying? Finish what you're saying.
That,
what do you mean you're inconsistent? I can kind of understand the inconsistency thing about your speaking.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's not just the inconsistency, but my...
you said it earlier.
Confidence.
Yep.
That my confidence is very inconsistent. Some days I will feel very confident about my thoughts being organized and saying what I'm saying. And other days I feel like I'm not making any sense, I'm not getting a point across.
Is there something about when you don't follow in turn?
Maybe. Maybe.
Sometimes when you just jump in when it's not
Maybe.
Your turn, what's that all about?
Oh, and yeah, you're right. I just think, oh, I got to say something right now before I forget. And then, but there's other times, I think sometimes it's when I let somebody else throw me off track by what they said, and then I'm like, instead of, like, I'm thinking about, you know, what I'm going to say, but then I'm starting to think, okay, I'm gonna respond.
Is that a large orange juice? What is that? Oh.
What is it with you?
He's paying today. What is that with me and large? I like it large. Okay, that's
all
I'm gonna say.
Get a second one.
I can't wait till I come for
The French toast.
There were some large French toast.
They come like the pieces of that. Oh, my God. They're so good.
I think maybe I let myself be sidetracked, distracted. Like, it may not have been something that's really on my mind or my heart, but what I'm responding to what somebody else has said or something else that has happened in my life that I'm gonna I'm gonna prove them wrong or show them wrong or get, and it's really not something that is really, you know what I mean? It's not genuine, to use your word. When I'm not genuine, I lose all confidence or most of my confidence in what I'm saying. And
well, I think it's that, and you question your motives.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly, because I know that that's not the purest of motives, and it's not, it's really, and I know enough to know that what I'm doing is either, I'm distracting or deflecting or being pulled off, you know, something that I could be using this time to. Lately, in the last couple of days, I've been really on this kick of I could be using my time to try and accomplish something good, to try to help somebody. And am I doing that? Sometimes I am. And other times, I'm using this time to more or less attack somebody else's position or somebody's. And those times are really negative times. Those are really times when the way I've been looking at it lately is I have this canopy of good over here.
I love that canopy of good.
If I stay in that canopy of good, then and I do things that I know are going to bring about good for me and my family and people around me, then I'm in the right place. But as soon as I get over under this canopy of suffering and misery, it's not even a canopy, it's just a morass, a swamp over here.
Did you say morass today? Was that you?
No, I didn't.
Somebody said that. I'm like, how do you spell morass?
M-O-R-A-S-S.
I want more ass. Morass. And I'm sitting around, Tim, that's naughty. You didn't say that.
That's funny.
What's such a good word, though?
It is, isn't it? It reminds me of there's a street in Atlanta. When I worked at Whirlpool, we had hundreds of addresses to go through. I had part of my job, I had to go through hundreds and thousands of addresses that got entered into the a imaging system. And there was a road in Atlanta called Needmore Road.
That's funny.
And that was the funniest road name I've ever seen, you know.
There's a street somewhere, I don't know if it's by Dowagiac or what, it's called Pucker Street. You can always have fun with that one, you know. But it's like, it's funny because it's like, I always think of that, like myself, like keeping my 2 feet of beach clean. Yeah. If I can keep my 2 feet of beach clean, it's like, I just had 12 days off from work. I haven't thought about it one time.
That's what work.
And the old me would have sat here for like today and yesterday, all in misery and in morass. I don't know if that's the right word. I gotta look it up. Morass. What is morass? But now I'm just like going, you know what? You know, it's part of my day. You know, I can't wait to try to go see how I can help other people. When I take myself out of the equation and like, oh, I hate my job, I hate these people, I hate this thing, I hate where I work, and blah, blah, blah. Well, no one's going to change it but me, you know? And until then, you know, it's going to allow me to help other people or do other things, you know?
That's positive. You know, I tend to obsess over conflicts that I've had, that I'm having, or that I am going to have with other people. I just have a tendency to do that. And I'm trying to figure out, and I'm making progress, spiritual progress, because I've decided that when I talk about progress, not perfection, I'm going to use the words that they use. It says spiritual progress, not spiritual perfection.
Well, and then, you know, there's that, you know, and just like higher power, you know, spiritual is a whole different meaning to someone else. Yeah. When people talk about and getting all the semantics about the higher power and the prayers and all that, but someone's spirituality one way could mean, I'm sorry, I know people that have a spiritual when they cook. You
exactly.
know, I see people with spiritual things when they're helping others. You know, it's not a matter of just, you know, people are just so busy, you know, pinpointing
God and religions, right, and which one's right and which one's not, and if I'm not praying to the right one, I'm going to hell. And you know what's funny is that, you know, they can have all these ideas about God and spiritualism, but they all have the same vision of hell.
Yeah, that's right. And
there's different definitions of that.
I feel like men, among other things, mankind, or men, women, are spiritual beings. They're social beings, but they're also spiritual beings. I believe that we have a spirit that lives inside us, not necessarily eternal, not necessarily created, or, you know, but a spirit that feels good. I have a spirit that feels good when I do good. I have a spirit I feel good, you know, when I share a connection with the universe, with the good in the universe, I feel a spiritual connection. It's not always a physical thing. Sometimes it can be. I can feel a spiritual connection physically. Sometimes the goodness is just a spiritual connection. Being kind, being compassionate, being understanding, being giving, helping somebody. Those are all, to me, are all spiritual.
It's so much easier to be good and kind, mm-hmm, than it is to not be, because
it's a lot less taxing on your well-being, your mental health,
you don't carry it around as much. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't sit around worrying about, you know, when you do good things. At the end of the day, you're not sitting there saying, you know, I shouldn't have given them that food or that money, you know, or
yeah.
So it's
yeah, you're right. Thank you.
Bacon's trying to escape the plate. Would you like me to refill your coffee, or is it just the way you like it and you don't need to wait a minute or two?
I think we'll wait a moment. I like the way you put that. It is exactly right now, the right temperature, the right cream.
I know, and we servers come along and screw it all up all the time.
The worst.
I know. And then we come back to ask you how it is in your mouth.
As you're eating. I know, you're sitting there behind me watching. I'm going to wait for it. Ah, mouthful. What can I get you?
At that point, you can either go, uh-huh.
Well, you gotta understand, they don't have a lot of choices for entertainment. That is probably entertainment there for the day.
Yeah, I bet you get a lot of that now. The guy sitting there on his phone.
Oh, yeah. And then you have those that, because they're doing this,
they're doing what?
Stick their finger in his
shoes. Oh. Not many people make me come with one finger, and it's not going to be you.
Never heard that one, but I will keep that for my repertoire.
Sometimes that doesn't sound as bad in my head than when I say it out loud. But you kind of get what I mean,
I
right?
Do.
I can't take him anywhere.
I meant it. This is like the best saying ever.
I can't take you anywhere.
But you know, and it's like, my life has always been littered with, glittered, with those God shots and what, I mean, I do wish there was a different word than spirituality, but it's just, when I'm ready for it or want to listen to it or want to hear about it, like last night, you know, yeah, it was nothing but God's grace doing what, yeah, guiding us, because
I could tell when you were talking about it, it sounded like it. I mean, it obviously was. It would have been to anybody a difficult thing to, you know, who wants to see something like that, you know, and have to deal with it. You know, somebody's pet has been, you know, right there in the road.
I mean, Lexi was hit by a car almost exactly a year ago last week. She ran out into the alley, and luckily in the alley, you know, that you go slow enough that she was more rolled than hit, and that 5-10 minutes of me not knowing where she was when I was even driving around the neighborhood looking for her, but somehow she had sneaked up on the bed and was laying on bed, and she had some cuts and abrasions, but nothing internal, nothing bad, and for a second there she was just still until, I don't know, she realized I was there and then just woke up and jumped in my arms. But it's like, we went to the beach you know, I was thinking about stuff, and it's like, you know, Bonnie made me go to the beach. Not much made me, but, you know, just like, let's go. And I'm like, okay, let's go. And I'm sitting there worrying about, it's like you were talking about, you know, people just worry about the past or the future or the dread of whatever. And then at one point, I'm just like, well, you know what? I can't control or change anything that happened or will happen, you know? And I'm sitting around this beautiful, gorgeous day in my shorts in November. And at one point, with my shirt off, and I'm like, well, once I gave in to, all I have is today, all I have is now, you know, everything just changed. And then, you know, I wanted to get that ink cartridge, and for no other reason did God or the higher power or whoever direct us that way, because Bonnie wanted to see where her grandmother used to live. And it was on that street. And I believe she was saying it, but I didn't hear it. But when she saw it in the road, I was looking. I was almost getting a little bothered, like, come on, let's go. We're in Benton Harbor, blah, blah, blah. You know, so there's people that would be, you know. I was marveling at Bonnie's courage. She don't care. She's not, when it comes to life, she's not afraid. But when it comes to her own inner stuff, that's where we all just get, like, why am I get so afraid? I can, like, knock the balls off everybody. But when it comes to me,
yeah,
you know. And then when we saw that in the street, it was like there's this moment of what should we do? You know, should we stop? Should we go? And she pulled over, and she said she got a rug. And I just sat there, like, I can't deal with this. There's reasons in my life that I just can't deal with something dead in the street. And I love my dog, and I love animals. And it makes me sad to see deer in this road. It makes me raccoons. I hate it. And but there was this moment where I saw her looking back with this rug in her hand. I'm like, she can't do that. I can't let her do that. You know? And then all of a sudden, like, this something just said, you know, I got up, I got out, I took the rug from her. It was this little cute little poor baby of a, he was still warm. So, and it was sad because he had this latch on his collar that was broken off. So somebody was walking the dog or had him tied up or something, or chained up, and, you know, all I knew was just to just wrap him up, and then I just laid him on the sidewalk, and I didn't know what to do. I was sitting for that moment, like, I don't know what to do. I don't want to leave this poor baby here. You know, what do I do? And then the next thing you know, this lady came out of the school and was talking to Bonnie, and then this neighbor came out, said he saw them running around in the neighborhood.
How is everything?
I'm talking too much.
Have you tasted it yet?
No, but it just looks gorgeous.
Mine's very good.
My biscuit.
If he doesn't eat his, I'm gonna eat it.
My biscuit is made of a heart, so it'll warm me up just by tasting. With love.
And lots of butter there.
Yeah.
Is your coffee still okay?
It is still the lovely. I love her. She's so sweet. So it was like, you know, it was like these angels just swooped in and took over and let us go. You know, and I was happy and okay. I didn't go get my ink cartridge. But you know what? It's just those moments like that that just, you know, when, whether you want to call it faith or whatever, that's what I believe in. You know, there's always been that little, that something that always swoops in, you know.
That makes sense. I, when my dad passed in 2006, and I was still drinking, and I was sure that I would not be able to handle that. But somehow I did, you know. And maybe that was a spiritual, you know, God shot, as some people would call it. But maybe that was a gift. That's something that I just knew I couldn't do.
What could you do?
I had to go over to my mom's house and take her to have the funeral arrangements and go to the graveyard and have the grave opened up and deal, and the flowers and the service and the memorial and the funeral and then the dinner and then the graveside, all of that. You know, I had to be by her side the whole time, and I was the only relative. You know, my sister was coming up from Tennessee, and my brother was kind of at odds with the family at the time, and so it was like me.
But that's me. Isn't that how, I mean, we can say what you want, but to intuitively know what to do.
You know, and
where you would get this courage you didn't think you'd have.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because
so didn't you have to ask yourself, where did that come from?
Yes. And I did, and I didn't get any answer. But what I did learn, did know, was
that... You don't need the answer. No. You have that strength.
And when it happens again, I'll have it again.
Yes.
And I didn't know that then. Now I do know that. I'm less apprehensive of those types of situations. The first time through it was with my dad. And it was really hard. But I know that eventually my mom's going to pass away too. And we'll have to go through all of those things again. But now that we've gone through it with Dad, and we didn't die, didn't kill us, we know we can go through it with Dad too. And my brother is reconciled with the family, and he'll be there to help. Which I'm really glad, because we've always been pretty close.
Do you think you can remember what you were saying about the God's grace?
Yeah.
It was such a great analogy.
When people see, like they're on their way to somewhere and a truck in front of them gets hit by a semi, everybody gets burst into flames and everybody dies, and I'm in the car right behind them, and then I get where I'm going and I tell everybody that, well, but for the grace of God, I would have burned up in a truck. And it makes me wonder, what does that say about my belief in what kind of a God do I believe in? And why didn't God have grace for them? Why didn't we all survive? You know, why did God think that I was so much better than that? I deserved grace and to not burn up in a car accident, but they didn't. And what if next time I'm the one in the truck ahead and the people behind me don't get hit, and but for the grace of God, I do go? What does that say about me? You know, I mean, this has been really confusing to me my whole life, but everybody else doesn't seem, and when I mention it to other people, they act like I'm just crazy, questioning God or something.
It's like that prayer. Bless him, change me.
Mm-hmm.
Screw that. I want the blessing. He's an asshole. Change him.
Well, change both of us, or bless both of us, you know?
No, change him. Bless me for putting up with his damn ass.
You know, there are times when other people are wrong. I had something happen last week where somebody made a joke about domestic violence in a group situation, and I stood up and said, that's not funny and it's not okay. And you'd have thought I nominated, you know, Charles Manson for president. I mean, it was, you know, I felt like the Lone Ranger.
Well, that collective group thing. Somebody once was talking about people and opinions and stuff, and people bullying people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people seem like a bully or a complainer or a whiner. Sometimes because they're the only ones that will speak up, you know, and then other people, the little chickens, will sit back there and be quiet and let the other person speak because they're too chicken to say, so it makes that other person look like they're the, you know, complainer, the whatever.
Yeah.
And it's the same with a situation like that, you know. It's like, is it easier to agree with that, or is it easy to side with Doug? You know, say, Doug, you're right. You know, he's an asshole, and I'm not going to pray to bless him because he's an ass.
You know, the thing is that the guy who told the joke was he's not a terrible guy. That was a thoughtless joke. He sometimes tells those, and I think he tells them because people don't stand up and say, that's not okay. You know, that joke is just, it's not okay. I think that if enough people told him that, he would quit telling those jokes.
Well, think about it, when we were kids and being bullied.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me how many people, when I sit there and watch little movies or things where people, where people are filming or watching, fight, 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 there's a fight. And clearly in a school setting or a setting, there's a bigger bully, and he's getting egged on by the crowd and the cheer, and not a single person is caring about the little person that's getting beat on, because it's not them. Mm-hmm. And they didn't stand up for the person.
Right.
How many times when we were kids, I mean, you can't tell me teachers don't know this is going on.
I know.
You wouldn't be allowed to do that as an adult, so why is it acceptable when you're a child? And you're responsible in care for these souls that will change their life. You know, it could be more life-changing for someone to swoop in and save and stop and say this, you know, even if they didn't do anything else other than to tell that guy, this is not cool.
Yeah. I didn't start out. It ended up I got out of control and got more angry than I should have gotten, but didn't start out that way. And as I learn and get a little better at this, you know, standing up and saying, you know, it's not funny, it shouldn't be joked at, it shouldn't be laughed about, and it's not okay. And that's the end of it. That's all I need to say.
And well, not only that, just think of the person, the other people sitting there watching you do that. Maybe they didn't have that courage then, but maybe next time they'll pull a Doug. You know what I mean? That's what's so amazing when that kind of stuff happens.
And it's taken me a while to get to the place where I would, first of all, say anything, but then of all, then could say something that would be reasonable instead of, I found myself becoming angry to the point of my response was coming from the same place of anger that a person who commits domestic violence from. You know, my reaction is, oh, they're being violent with somebody and they're treating them out of anger. And so I'm being, in order to combat that, I'm being angry. It's almost to the point of violence, at least verbal violence, back towards them. Instead of saying, look, instead of just leaving it at the place where, look, what you're doing is not funny and it's not okay.
Can I buy one of these little heart sandwiches of love to go for Doug?
Of course.
That's on my bill. He gets nothing else but that.
All right, you want the same thing, sausage?
You know, yeah. See, look at him. Yes, yes. All but right. In a separate package,
of course,
I need that. I need that sheep, Texas sheep.
Okay.
But don't tell nobody.
Who's Bill Zegger?
Well, of course. Yeah, that's mine.
All right.
I'm going to have my own guilt.
All right. Any more coffee right now, Joe?
I'll have one more.
Okay.
But then that goes back to you and your courage. You know, I remember seeing a Doug that came in the way that he came in when I first met him and would speak and then had that moment where that one person kind of squashed him. That's why I was so glad to see you whenever I saw you, just because, you know, whenever I wanted to do a show and with you were the first name, that first voice, you know, like when you were talking today, I was just looking out the window and just listening to it. That's what always happens to me. But then after that situation happened, it seemed like it took a while for you to come back and find that voice.
Mm-hmm. And today, if I wanted to give me some advice.
Today someone did?
Yeah. And yesterday, I gave somebody else some advice. And I think I was probably a little harsher than I would have wanted to be. Even though I said to him afterward, I said, I think I was too harsh with you. And I'm sorry. I'm still trying to learn how to develop interpersonal communications and relationships without becoming angry or going overboard. And he said, you know, we made amends and everything was cool. Today somebody came out to me and said he wanted to give me some advice. You know, would I like to hear it? I said, well, I'll listen. And he started telling me something and I started to respond and I said, you know what, yesterday I talked to somebody else in a similar way that this guy was talking. And that guy stood there and listened to me yesterday. Maybe it's my turn to stand here and listen to somebody else tell me something and to not respond out of taken out of proportion to what's being said.
I like that lesson of learning to respond and not react, and to just listen.
Mm-hmm. Listen to what you said. You know?